Today we begin our teaching on the book of Leviticus. In this book, we will learn about God's holiness, the atonement of sins during the Old Covenant, and about various other laws God gave the Israelites. Here is Dr. Ruth with the introduction.
Okay, welcome. This is Dr. Ruth. I am so glad that you have joined me today as we study the Word of God. And we begin our study today of the book of Leviticus, one of the most dreaded, avoided books in the Bible because of a lot of legalism, do's and don'ts, and rituals. So many people are often confused as to the purpose for the book, and they just skip it. However, I am hoping that by the time we come to the end of this book, you will agree with me that it is a very fascinating study, as we will learn the nature of God revealed in this book through His holy laws and the principles in the book of Leviticus are still applicable to us today. So I have really enjoyed the time preparing for this teaching, and I am believing that you will enjoy your study as well. And so I am glad that you are with me today. So what is the overall purpose of the book? It was a handbook for the priests and the Levites during the Old Testament era, and this book outlined their specific duties for the nation of Israel. The name of the book, Leviticus, signifies its overall purpose because the name Leviticus was derived from the tribe of Levites, and the tribe of Levites, if you recall, was the tribe where the priest of Israel came from. So who is the author? Jewish tradition and even Christians, church tradition holds that the author is Moses, and the book was written in the desert during the time when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness due to their disobedience. And all of these instructions God gave them to Moses at Mount Sinai, okay? And the book was written between 1450 to 1410 B.C. B.C. means before Christ. So there are various themes in this book, but let's go over the three major themes of the book of Leviticus. Theme number one, holiness. The laws given to Moses by God symbolized God's holiness. God is holy, God is perfect, so these laws were supposed to reflect His holiness. And God gave these laws to Moses to give to the Israelites so that the Israelites could apply it into their lives in order to maintain purity. Number two, maintain their holiness, and that way they would be set apart from other nations. So God used these laws to set them apart from the other pagan nations that were their neighbors. Number two, second major theme of this book is worship. We will learn how God would give specific instructions highlighting the proper ways for the Israelites to worship Him. And with regards to worshiping God, this really highlights that God desires to fellowship with His creation. So He gave specific laws so He can be worshiped correctly. The third major theme of this book is that of sin, offerings, sacrifices, and the atonement. Okay, so we will learn about this theme here. And since human beings are not perfect, obviously, we know that in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve committed that sin and mankind fell from grace. So since human beings are not perfect, during the Old Testament era, God provided a temporary system whereby sins could be forgiven and covered. So that is why a lot of the sacrifices and the atonement and the offerings were made in order for sins to be forgiven and covered. But all of these were not permanent. They were temporary solutions to cover mankind's sin. This was before Christ, and so the sins could not be permanently removed. And in this system, it was life for life, okay? As we will learn moving on here. Life for life, meaning that if you kill somebody, you are killed as well. That is what I meant by life for life. And who was the original audience? The children of Israel. But currently, we are also, we meaning in 2017, the body of Christ right now, all Christians collectively, Judeo-Christian faith, we are also an audience because we have all inherited that promise from Abraham. So the principles taught in this book apply to us today. So as we begin, I want to say that I will really highlight on the major principles because a lot of this sacrificial system that God had in place and the offerings were all fulfilled in the person Jesus Christ. So I will just highlight some of these offerings and sacrifices and teach on the major principles. That way we do not get bogged down with a countless, endless list of rituals and do's and don'ts. I want to make this enjoyable so we can learn what God wants us to learn from this book. And also, most importantly, if you have not listened to the book of Genesis or the book of Exodus, I really recommend you do so because you want to approach this book, the book of Leviticus, with the book of Exodus and Genesis in mind. Otherwise, it's going to be really challenging for you to just jump into the book of Leviticus and get the big picture, especially because the way I will teach this, I'll just keep a lot of these rituals so we can focus on the principles. And part of that is because some of these details and the rituals I had gone over already in the book of Exodus. So that is why it is important that you go back and re-listen to the book of Exodus and Genesis if you haven't done so. That way you can approach the book of Leviticus in context and get the best from it. Okay, in Jesus' name. So I hope you receive that. Okay, so let's begin with the first few chapters of this book. What I'm going to do, I will discuss the first seven chapters out of the book of Leviticus because these chapters are dealing with the offerings, the sacrifices, and the principles are pretty much consistent. So I will discuss them as a whole. That way it's easier for you to remember. But before I even get into the different chapters, some background is necessary. So let's go over some background information so that when we get to the various sacrifices and offerings, you would keep this background information in mind. So as background, the book of Leviticus picks up where the book of Exodus ends, right at Mount Sinai, at the foot of Mount Sinai, where God gave Moses the law. And remember, from the book of Exodus, the tabernacle had been completed. Okay, we talked about that. So since the tabernacle was completed, God was then ready to teach his chosen people, the Israelites, how to interact with him and how to worship him. So that is where this book picks up from the book of Exodus. And if you recall, we talked about this in the book of Exodus. The tent of meetings was where Moses met with God most of the time. And if you remember, the tent of meeting as discussed in the book of Exodus, one side was a sanctuary and the other side was a holy of holies, and a curtain separated the two. And most Bible scholars believe that Moses met with God right there in the Holy of Holies, where God revealed a lot of his instructions to him. Like I said in the introduction, many people describe these laws given in the book of Leviticus as bizarre, and they avoid studying this book. But remember, God gave these laws for specific purpose overall to mold and shape his chosen people, the Israelites, and to teach them his ways. And there is a lot to learn about the character and nature of God in these laws, even though we have the entire New Testament or the entire Bible, which reveals the nature of God. And of course, Jesus Christ revealed God in his fullest, but we can still learn a lot about God from this book. So let's talk about animal sacrifice here as a background before we proceed. Animal sacrifice was a common practice during the Old Testament era among various cultures in the Middle East. So God used animal sacrifice as a way to teach his people, the Israelites, about the seriousness of sin. That way they can become more conscious about sin and about the guilt that ensues from sin, and their need for repentance and their need to trust God as the one to truly forgive them. As an example, think about this with me. When the Israelites sinned, an animal had to be sacrificed. They saw an animal being killed. That picture alone planted a deep seed or remembrance in their mind about how God took sin seriously. Just seeing an animal being sacrificed because you sinned is enough to make you consider or think twice before you sinned. So God had to do this in front of them so they can understand that God took sin seriously. And also, with all the sacrifices and the rituals that we will learn from this book, the original idea here was for God to use these rituals, these do's and don'ts, to enable the Israelites to worship him honestly from their heart. So these rules and regulations were like a roadmap that they were supposed to follow. And if these rules and regulations were done correctly, the byproduct was that it was supposed to convict them in their heart. That way they would approach God honestly. But of course, fallen human beings, many of them abused it. And by the time that Jesus came, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were using these rules and regulations, these rituals, to replace a true heartfelt relationship with God. And of course, Jesus had to rebuke them a lot for that. And just to highlight how, even though God used these rituals and sacrifices and offerings to mold and shape these people with the intention of teaching them how to truly worship him from their heart, in Psalm 51, King David even said that God is not after burnt offerings or sacrifices. Rather, he is after our hearts. Okay? And also, if these sacrifices were done correctly, they were supposed to strengthen the Israelites' faith and build their trust towards God. So those were the reasons why God gave this. So with regards to some terminology here, in the book of Leviticus, and really across most books of the Bible, the terminologies of sacrifice and offerings are used interchangeably. Okay? However, usually if a specific sacrifice is being given, at times it is called an offering. But overall, offerings is generally called sacrifices, just so you keep that in mind. But here's the idea. Think about this. The Israelites offered their offerings as a gift to God by sacrificing it to God, such as, say, in the altar. So you see how it's all interrelated? Okay, their offering was their sacrifice to God, which is why sometimes those words are used interchangeably. And most importantly, remember that during the Old Testament era, Jesus Christ had not come in the flesh. So these sacrifices or offerings, if you will, were the only means by which these Israelites had to approach God and to appease him or to restore relationship with God if they missed the mark. Okay, missing the mark means if they sinned. Okay, so this was all they had. And each of the different sacrifices meant something different to the people. For example, we had sacrifices of thanksgiving, we had peace offering, reconciliation offering, all as a means to be restored back into fellowship with God. So the sacrifices or offerings accomplished two general purposes. Let's take a look at this. Number one, talking about the animal sacrifice. The animal, during the Old Testament era, during this system of offerings and sacrifice, the animal took the sinner's place and the animal paid the price or penalty for the individual's sin instead of them. And this is a principle of substitutionary death. Okay, again, highlighting the principle of substitutionary death, which today in the New Testament era, Jesus was our substitute. The substitutionary death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ have met all of these laws fully, 100%. So I said that so you can know that this principle of substitutionary death was the system that God had in place ever since the transgression by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, as recorded in Genesis chapter 3. As such, human beings could not have direct fellowship with God who is holy, so a substitute was necessary in order for God to fellowship with his creation. And it was practiced in this sacrificial system during the Old Testament, except an animal was that substitute. But in the New Testament, Jesus Christ became that substitute for us. So second overall purpose here for this sacrificial system is, like I said before, the animal death meant life. One life given for another life, such as the animal's life was given in place of a human being's life. Let me say it another way around. So animal death means that one life given, such as the animal, so that another life, a human being, can be saved. So the animal was killed, that way a human being can survive. So those were the two general purposes for this sacrificial system. And God used this system throughout the entire Old Testament to guide the Israelites, to train them, to mold them. And he used this system to bring them back to him when they sinned. They had to offer sacrifices for repentance. And these laws met God's holy standard. These laws also had moral implication. It taught the Israelites morality, how to live an upright moral life. Also, it taught them about cleanliness. As we will see, God gave laws about skin disorders, various illnesses, bleeding. So these were all to help the people, and obviously spiritual benefit, spiritual laws. So we will learn about the moral laws, the health or laws or cleanliness, and of course spiritual laws. But all in all, Jesus Christ has fulfilled all of these laws, so we are not to practice this Old Testament sacrificial laws, but we are to learn from these principles, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So with that background, as I proceed rather quickly through the first seven chapters, keep that in mind. So do not get bogged down with all the details. I will highlight certain chapters and bring out certain details to your attention so we can look at the general application today.